Let's continue to remember Lynn and Tracy and Kathy and Buddy and Connie. Thank you. I need help. Let's see. Shirley, she's out with her eyes. She's had her injections. Generally bothers her. I believe that's the rest of them just looking out, so don't pray for them.
Let's pray for Tom, okay?
All right. We are in the book of Revelation. I know I said I was going to complete 15 and 16 last week, but I did not. And so if you would turn to Thessalonians. Is there more than one?
Yes, there's two. Tell him, John.
Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what Revelation is. You would agree with that, right? Revelation is the revealing of the glorified Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And what comes or what's related to that coming. You would agree with that, right? And we began this by in the first chapter of Revelation. What was it about? Glorified Christ. And then chapters 2 and 3 is about the church age. Now, why is the church age mentioned after the glorified Christ in chapters 1? Why not somewhere else?
Because the church was
supposed to
be the church was to glorify God.
Well, that's somewhat true. That's not somewhat true. That is true. That is true. But the church age was to tell people about the coming of the glorified Christ. I mean, God is not a God that just comes on you without warning. He doesn't do that. Although he says he'll come in such hour as you think not, or he'll come as a thief in the night. But he's not coming to people that have not been made aware of that. That was the reason for the church. But the church got perverted. The message got skewed. All of a sudden, if you look around today, folks, you'd have to agree with me in Christendom in the church age. We're not hearing much about Christ coming. We're hearing social gospel, folks. We're hearing gospel that wants to make life better here for people. Well, last time I checked, it's not going to get better here.
No.
Just look around. It's getting worse. The Bible says it's going to get in the latter days, perilous times. What, honey? Well, isn't that an emphatic statement? Would you say that's an emphatic statement? It didn't say might come. Didn't say should come. Says will come. And if you're not seeing that, I like that. You're blind and cannot see afar off. So that's what Revelation is about. And then beginning in chapter 4,
John is taken to heaven.
Why?
To see what is happening on earth.
Hey, listen, if we don't have heaven's perspective, if we don't have heaven's view of this, we don't have the right view, folks. We can't have man's view because man can't see it. To man, when people die, they just all go up and they're looking down and their spirits all around. And listen, that may sound good. And that may make a loved one that's left here feel good. But it ain't true. I don't care if you die saved. You're not up there looking down And your spirit ain't going around trying to. That's just perverted. It tells us, and we've said it over and over, haven't we? What happens when you go to heaven? Bless God, you're around the throne praising God. And I got a feeling, and I could be wrong, it's my opinion. Don't go out and say I taught it, but it's my opinion. I'm entitled to that. You can have your own. I got a feeling that you don't have any thoughts of down here. I mean, who'd want to think about down here and try to worship up there? That's the problem down here now. We got our minds down here and we can't worship God. We come in here, and I say we, point me out at the top. That'll be okay. We come in here on Sunday mornings with so much baggage about this world and the flesh, we can't let ourselves worship. Now, I know that's a little off course on my diatribe there, but that's how I feel. Did I go off? It sounds like I went off. I did go off, but I meant here. I go off a lot. Trust me. All right. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now I want you to file. Gathering together unto him. Let me ask you something. Would you say that's a rendezvous? A rendezvous is this, by definition. A meeting at a set time with set people, generally two people. But a rendezvous is where two people are gathered together at an appointed time, right? So would you say that this is a rendezvous? Well, I would say this, that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the earth. Now, I would say that's a rendezvous, wouldn't you? I would say this is a rendezvous. I would say that when Christ comes, we're going to gather together with him if we know him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Evidently, the Thessalonica people had determined in their minds that Christ was coming, so they were selling all their stuff, just sitting around waiting. And Paul sent them a letter, said, no, wait, no. That day's not here. You say, well, how'd he know? He didn't know. The Holy Spirit knew. The Holy Spirit's given this, folks. This is not Paul's thinking. Don't ever associate the writers of the Bible's thinking. It's not their thoughts. It's the Holy Spirit authoring through them. So he says, that day's not here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Except there come a. Now, somebody give me one word for that little phrase. Starts with an A. We play that game in here, you know, where I'm Vanna White and I turn letters. Starts with an A. The next letter, huh? Apostasy. Folks, if you don't see the apostasy going on, you're blind. What is apostasy? What is the falling away? What are they falling away from? Well, this is the truth. Look, I don't have a problem with different translations. I've used one. Sometimes I have a parallel Bible that has four different, you know, translations, and I use it sometimes for study. But I've never, ever taught out of anything but the King James, not the 1611. Nobody in here could understand 1611. My goodness, you ever tried to read it? You know. But I believe in one Bible. I believe God gave one word. Now, that's what I believe. Don't run out and say, oh, Tom's emphatic about. No, that's what I believe. I'm entitled to what I want to believe. You're entitled to what you want to. that by that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, who is that? The Antichrist. So until the Antichrist comes on the scene, the last 7 years has not started. You know, I heard somebody this week, they want to make Donald Trump the Antichrist. Well, he could be. Hey, he could be. But they're not saying that because they believe the Bible and the Antichrist is coming, folks. Come on. They're saying that for political gain. He's not a Jew. Well, do you know the Antichrist is a Jew? Well, no, no, wait. You think. Ain't he supposed to be? The Antichrist is the Antichrist. Now, I would, never mind. Okay, let's move on. All right. Who speaketh and exalteth? Now, I can tell you that's what he does. Above all that is called, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Remember when the Antichrist came on the scene in chapter 13, what happened? What happened? He came out of the sea. Remember, and the sea was humanity. What happened? Well, but what happened? What happened immediately when he got here? And the dragon gave him his power. Listen, if you don't understand anything else this morning, understand this. God has a holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Satan has an unholy Trinity. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Satan is going to try to imitate everything about God so that one day he can set himself up as God. Why do you think that all these churches have different messages? Because that's how you control people, remember? You control people militarily, economically, and religiously. He knows that. He's a smart guy, if I could say it that way. But he ain't God. He's going to find that out. We're going to see that come to be. All right, now. Sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. This is nothing new, he said. I've been telling you this. And what I'm teaching on Sunday morning is nothing new. John was reminding me this morning. I don't even remember when it is. Don't remember when he came here, to tell you the truth. He said, but the first Sunday he and little Becky came, I was teaching Revelation. I don't remember last week teaching Revelation. That's why I'm a member in this class. This is one kind of class, I tell you that. And now you know what withholdeth. No, yeah. Now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What's holding the Antichrist back right now? Let me help you a little more. Not what, who. Specifically. Huh? Specifically. Remember, I told you there's a Holy Trinity. So when you say God, there's a... Well, which one of them is withholding? Who said that? Who said that? He's not even in the class. He's done 8 beat y'all. He gets an A today. Could be taken away by the end of the class, though, Scott. I'm just teasing. Now, here's how you know. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work... Only he, so now it's not a it, it's a person. That's a personified statement. And he says, only the mystery of iniquity doth work, only he who now letteth, or he who allows, continues to allow until he be. Now, we have a problem there, don't we? Someone tell me the problem. I was hoping to impress Scott with my class this morning. What's the problem there? You'll help me. I know you always help me. What's the problem there? Only he that now...
If the Holy Spirit is retaining it and he's taken away...
Isn't that a problem?
It's a huge problem.
What is that problem? No, what's the problem with the verse there? How do you take the Holy Spirit away? He's everywhere. God's everywhere. You can't take the Holy Spirit away. Only it says so. So what does it have to be talking about? Chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, folks. The church. Listen, we are the representatives of God. The Holy Spirit works in us and through us. Is that not true? So when his influence, his church, is out of here, could I say it this way and be reverent? All hell is going to break loose. Literally. Literally. So that's what he's talking about. So now we've moved, because remember he started out by saying our gathering together. Well, that's the rapture. And that's the church leaving out of here, right? And when the church leaves, who's going to be the influence? Bless God, you can't say the world. They don't even believe. So now we know. And then shall that... Now I want you to put a word after that. That wicked one. Now you know who the wicked one is, don't you? He's the dragon. He's that old serpent. He's Satan. He's the devil. And so what it says, and then shall that wicked one, Satan, through his... Antichrist and his false prophet. Y'all picking this up, aren't you? We're talking about influence here. How is he going to influence the world? The same way that God influenced the world through the church, Satan's going to influence the world through the Antichrist. Because remember, I read to you where it says he does all these miracles. And he has this image set up. And he can even make the image speak. Now, the last time I checked, only God can make a stone talk. Because he says, hey, if I want to, I'd cause these stones to raise up and praise me. You know, only God can make stone talk. So evidently God allows this false prophet to have the ability to make a stone talk. But that's not a far leap in today's world, folks. My gosh, they've brought Elvis Presley back. Did you see that? Yeah, they got this big concert now. Sold out. Elvis Presley. What do they call that? Anagram? Or what is that? Where are they?
Hologram.
Hologram. You don't get that? It's sold out. They think it's... If you don't think this world can be deceived, you're foolish. My gosh, look at this Hamas mess. Look at these people out in the streets. I'm not criticizing them individually. I don't know them. But they are deceived. You don't think they're out there because they're for Hamas or Palestine or anybody else, do you? They're out there because somebody paid them to be out there. Because they want it to look a certain way. Well, that's how Satan's going to operate, folks. Judge Judy says, not very smart. Y'all don't think I was Judge Judy. I do. I love Judge Judy. I tell you, I vote for her for president. She's my kind of person. I don't know her about her religiously, but I know her about her otherwise. She, if you don't work, she don't like you. How do you support yourself? All right, here we go. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Who's that? The Antichrist. You're going to see it, folks. They're going to the false prophet. They're going to bring this big army. You'll see it. I ain't got there, but yeah. But I'll tell you about it anyway. A preview. They bring out this big army against God. You got to be stupid to think you can go fight God. Well, they are stupid. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Well, it's not a far leap if you don't think there is a God to go out and fight a God. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that, well, I guess it don't go well for them in the fight. Because all God does, you know, they come out and it's the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they got their big army and they come out against God. And I love the way the Bible says, and it says, and they were taken. If you look that word up in the Greek, it means arrested, seized. That's all. Big battle, wasn't it? They were taken. They were arrested. And they were put into the lake of fire and brimstone. A-L-I-V-E. You know what happened to the army, Susie? I know you want me to tell you, I'm the teacher. After he takes them and just drops them in the lake, he does this. They're dead. Before that, he had said, call the fowls of the air that they may come and eat at the supper of God. Mm-hmm. I tell people this, you can either go to the Lamb's supper or bless God, you're going to be supper. Now I know that's not, what's the word? Popular. I know that's not popular. I know the world wouldn't want that. Because the world's view of God is this. Oh, he just takes us like we are. He just loves everybody like they are. I would agree with that to some extent. Just as I am with that one plea, that means you come like you are. You got to be changed. Or he ain't taking you like you are. That's the truth. You say, Tom, how you know that's the truth? Well, It says so. What's this? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, for this very reason, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be. Now, someone give me another word for saved. There starts with a D. Delivered. Well, why would you need deliverance? Why would you need to be saved? If God just accepts people like they are, why in the world would God say, no, you've got to be delivered, rescued. You're in a bad place. Well, here's why. He comes on. He doesn't leave anything to chance here. He says, and for this cause, or for this very reason. What reason? What's the reason? What's the reason for the next statement he's going to make? Well, let me give you a word. Let me give you a word that'll help you. If he put there, therefore. Now everyone knows what therefore means, don't you? What's that therefore? Well, he says, because they wouldn't receive the love of the... Well, folks, last time I checked, I could be wrong. I don't think I am. God is love. Jesus is truth. They rejected God because they rejected His Son. And for that reason, for that very reason, if you don't think it's serious to refuse God's Son, He says this, for this cause, for this very reason, God Himself, I add that word, God Himself, not someone else. You know, I hear these people say, well, if you go to hell, it's because it's not, God didn't send you to hell. Hey, I got news for you. You reject His Son, see if He don't send you to hell. I know this thing of, well, you send yourself. Look, I've said you this. Look, if you read the end of Revelation, you don't go to the where the pit is, where the fire and brimstone is. You don't get out there and go. You know how I know that, Jimmy? Because it says they were cast. Well, if you'll chase that word down, you know what it means. It means He grabbed you by the seat of your pants, my words, and throw you, kicking and screaming. Does that sound like a good thing? Not to me. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Not just delusion, but strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Well, what's the lie? Honey, will you not get ahead of me? It's so hard for my assistant to, because her mind, you know, she took her medicine, didn't she? Stacy's on it, son. I tell you, she's like somebody else I know, getting pumped up. Can't say much with a mouthful, and then all of a sudden they quote the Constitution. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie, that they all might be. Now, I don't know about you. I don't have a lot of theological education. I don't have a doctorate. I didn't go to theology school. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't do any of those things. But I know what damned means. Cursed. Well, isn't that the thread, folks? Isn't that what I've given you? Didn't I tell you this, that if you take this one thread, just one thread, you can start in Genesis and you can finish up in Revelation, and there's not one verse you can't understand. Not one. With just one thread. What was that thread? God, well, then y'all won't be able to do it. if you lose the thread. You know what a thread is, don't you? It's that thing where it's on a button, and if you keep pulling at it, guess what? The button falls off. It's the thing that holds it together, right?
Yes.
Well, there's one verse in the Bible that I've given you that holds it all together for you. I have set before you this day blessing and curse. Life and death. Remember, I gave you the illustration of what's that game show where they let's make a deal or something, you know, and they got these doors and you've already got a present, and they say, well, if you want door number one, if you want to swap what you got for door number one, you can do that.
Let's make a deal.
Well, that's going on every day, folks. People are making deals. But you won't know how good God is. I know this is a little bit stretched, but it's okay. It's my way of teaching. God's the game show host. You're holding sin as your gift in your box. You don't know it. And he's saying, you'll trade what you've got for door number one. It's good. But every day, people say, I'm going to hold on to what I got. I don't believe you. And they refuse. Well, he doesn't just pass over that. He says, okay, you hold on to what you've got, and you'll be damned. You're going to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone, whether you believe it or not. You know, people say, well, I don't believe that stuff. God doesn't care. It's not going to change one thing he says. You know, this fact that I don't believe it, not going to change what God says. Because God's word is true. And remember what he said, you won't accept the love of the truth, therefore you can be damned. Who believe not the truth, he doesn't leave anything to guess there, folks. But had what? They not only knew that what they were doing and believing was wrong, they took pleasure in it. But boy, I praise God, there's another verse. Oh, if my pastor was here, he'd scream it out. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Well, now that tells me that they received the love of the truth. You know, that's the ones who chose life. That's the ones who accepted blessing. And he says, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. I'm just glad it's true. And I don't have one single doubt in my mind of who I am and where I'm headed because God says so. Just as sure as you're headed to hell if you reject him, you're headed to heaven if you receive him. I don't know about you. I get a lot of joy out of that. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to what?
Salvation
through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In other words, you believed what I said. I put the Holy Spirit in you so that you continue to believe it. You know, God doesn't save you and then say, now, you grit them teeth and you get in there and you persevere to the end. You know how many would make it? None, bless God. That's the grace of God's God. That's the goodness of God. He says, son, I've delivered you. My word says I've delivered you. But I'm going to put my spirit in there to make sure. So that when Tom does something, he knows, bless God's of the flesh, and it's not good. Man, I'll get hit right in there by something inside me that says, what's wrong with you? Glory is what I say. Whereunto he called you by our good news. Didn't he say that to start with, Jimmy? I've set before you blessing, that's good news. I've set before you cursing, that's bad news. You chose the good. You chose to believe me. I won't be in heaven because I'm better than you. You won't be in heaven because you're better than me. I won't be in heaven because I've lived more stricter, narrower life than you. I'll be in heaven because of the faithfulness of God and the sacrifice of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Trinity that's taking care of me. The Bible says this, and then I'm going to Revelation very, very quickly. It says this, the steps or the life of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That means from the day you were saved, my friend, your life is ordered. And you're going to end up exactly where God says you will. Now look at Revelation real quick, and then I got to go. I mean, I don't know when I'm going to get through all this. I don't know and don't care. I'm having a good time. Now, does anybody remember anything about chapter 14? Does anybody remember anything about chapter 14? That's okay. I don't have time to help you. I'm going to tell you. You remember in chapter 14, it starts out by saying that he sees the 144,000 with the Lamb on the Mount, right? Okay. And then after that, there's three angels. What's the first angel do? No, don't look. Don't look. Don't look. I don't want you looking. Tomorrow. You're driving down the road, Sandy, and you think, well, I need to know what that first angel did. Let me get my Bible. And all of a sudden, what happens? Right. Thank you. Thank you. She knows. She ends up in a boot. Getting a boot. The first angel does this. It says that he flies through the air. What's he doing? Preaching. If you don't think God's good, folks, God's already sent prophets. God's already sent preachers. God's already sent some teachers. But his grace goes beyond that. He's going to send an angel. He's going to fly through the heavens. What's he doing? He's preaching the everlasting gospel. And that angel is saying, give glory to God. Give glory to God. Well, isn't that what saving's getting? Well, isn't that what saving's doing? And to be saved, isn't that what you're doing? You give God the glory because who else could save you? Nobody else could make that sacrifice. Nobody else did make that sacrifice. Nobody else would make that sacrifice. God did. His own son. He says, all I want you to do is give me the glory. And then he goes on and says this, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and his worship him made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. That's what he's asking you to do. But if you don't, the next angel comes. You know, the message is not over. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of her wrath and fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel, in the presence of the Lamb. You better believe that. You can think that's just religious gobbly-gob if you want to. You can think that just goes on at a Baptist church if you want to. That don't go on at any church, bless God. That comes out of the Word of God, and God's the one who backs it up. And then it comes on over to chapter 15, and it talks about the seven vials of the wrath of God being filled up. But remember, after he shows her that, what did he do? Oh, it's that grace again. He shows you the ones that are delivered first. Remember, they're around the throne. And what are they doing? They're singing the songs of Moses and the song of the Lamb. What does that mean? What's the song of Moses? Well, that's true. That's true. But what's the song? What's the song? Oh, listen, Moses, when he came out of Egypt, what did they sing about? They got over and start singing about deliverance. God delivered them. Well, what does the Lamb do? He delivers you. He delivers you. God says he hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And they're singing. Listen, that's what we're going to do in heaven. Sweet, sweet deliverance. I don't know the song. I'll just make it up as I go. Bless God, that's what it's about. I've been delivered. I've been redeemed. I've been saved. I'm a newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my life. Oh, yes, I've been changed. And that's what they're doing. And then as soon as they get through singing, here comes seven angels out of the temple. Remember, I told you something about the temple. No one was allowed in. The door was shut. And I told you what? There was no intercession now. There's no prayers. And there's no mercy. The door shut. Just like the ark. Huh? The ark was open till it wasn't. Once it closed, it wasn't open again. Once it closed, raindrops are falling on my head. The wrath is coming now, just like God said it would. And it says, and the first angel went out and he poured out his vial on the earth. Well, wasn't that what he said, give glory to God for the earth? Yeah, instead of saying we're going to save the planet, bless God, you ain't going to save nothing. Listen, that's right out of hell. Can't save this planet. It's done. Cursed. Done in. I want out of it. I don't want to save it. I want out of it. And then he says, the first vial is poured out on the earth. And as soon as he poured it out, grievous or noisome and grievous sores, ulcers were upon man. Just like that. Painful. Painful. And then the next vial is poured out. And what happened? The sea became blood and everything died to stink all of a sudden. And then the next vial was poured out and what happened? Oh, it was on the fountains and the rivers. And you can't drink now because it's blood. You can't drink. You start getting thirsty, right? And then what happened? Next one poured out his vial and what happened? He poured out on the sun. And the sun begins to scorch people. I don't know if y'all ever been out in the heat. I mean, the real heat. And you don't have anything to drink. And all of a sudden, boy, it doesn't take long to get dehydrated. And you don't feel good. And your tongue starts swelling. And your lips starts swelling. And everything. Well, that's where they are. They got nothing to drink. And they're getting thirsty. And it's getting hotter. And then the next vial is poured out. And it becomes dark, it says. It was poured out on the seed of the beast, the government of the beast, and his kingdom, all those that had the mark, everybody that took that mark, now all of a sudden they're in darkness. Anybody ever been sick, real sick? Huh? Anybody ever had a lot of pain? Isn't the pain worse at night? Yeah. Oh, the night seems like it'll never end. Well, bless God, this one's not going to. Became dark. And it says, and they gnawed their tongues from the pain. Well, isn't that what hell is? The gnashing of teeth. What does it tell you? What does that tell you? And it says, and they repented not. Here's what hell is, honey. I wish I had a little more time. Hell is this right here. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of stink. Hell, bless God, is a place of thirst. Hell is a place that's hot. Hell is a place that's dark. And hell is a place where everybody there is just angry. God sealed them that way. don't sound like anybody I want to be around. And then he says the next vial was poured out and three frogs come. One out of the dragon's mouth, one out of the Antichrist's mouth, one out of the false prophet's mouth, to go out and to deceive and to draw to a place that which is called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Megiddon. The Mount of Megiddon. I'll give you one guess. I started this thing out. I hope you remember I told you to file it. I'll give you one thing. One guess as to what Armageddon in the Hebrew means. Starts with an R. Next letter's E. Next letter's N. Rendezvous. Rendezvous. They're going to get called to a place and gathered to a place that God has set an appointed time for. And they're going to be drawn there. And then the next vial is poured out. And you know what happens? They're stoned with hailstones, the weight of a talent. The weight of a talent in the Greek is the largest weight that a man could carry normally, 100 to 125 pounds. Anybody ever seen a car that is in a hailstorm with little pellets like that? These are 100 to 125 pounds. But before that hail comes, the Bible says there's an earthquake such as never has been since time began. All you had to do was look at the recent one in Japan and you saw the earth just separate. What it does, the buildings start crumbling. Now there's no place for them to hide from the stones. They're exposed. God's wrath's not funny, folks. Hell ain't funny. God's anger ain't something to be laughed at. Just like His grace is amazing, His wrath is equally amazing. I would say this to anyone. Choose life. Choose door number one. Trust God. He knows what's back there. He'll never do anything to lead you wrong. All you have to do is trust Him. And with that,